Amen. Let's open our Bibles now to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. Gospel of Mark. Chapter 1. Mark, chapter 1. Let's read. Let's go ahead and read the whole text, verses 39 through 45. Mark, chapter 1, verses 39 to the end of the chapter. And he, the Lord, preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as the Lord had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from the man, and he was cleansed. And the Lord straightly charged the man, forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But the man went out and began to publish it much, and the blaze involved the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into that city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. Our Lord healed many lepers throughout the Gospels. Many lepers. Leprosy was a very common disease back then. There was no cure for it. It was a very dreadful disease. It was nearly always fatal. Nearly always fatal. And though leprosy is rare today, you won't hear of very many cases that they thought that they had all but eradicated. There are a few cases, but very rare today. Yet, every one of us are born with a type of leprosy. And it's not nearly always fatal. It is always fatal. Every one of us are born lepers. And we live in a leper colony. I'm talking about sin. Sin is just like leprosy. We're going to see that in a moment. Just like leprosy. All right, leprosy started very subtle disease. It started like any disease. It starts in the bloodstream. It's hidden from view. Leprosy, someone could have it and you not know it until much later. And after a while, if that person does have leprosy, it will begin to show up. It will show up in small ways at first. It'll be just a little spot, a blemish on the skin. And then that will break out into even worse until finally a person. And the disease is too hideous to really describe. It really is. Literally, the flesh rots. So you actually literally become a rotten person. Really. So you just absolutely decay away and die. Sin, Scripture says we are conceived in sin. we're born sinners. In Adam, we're born sinners. We're born with every seed of sin within us, though it does not show itself at first in a small child. It is there. They are dead in trespasses and sin. The seed of sin, like hate, malice, anger, envy, jealousy, selfishness, pride, being unthankful to God, not wanting God, lust, malice, lascivious, it's all right there in that little grandbaby of yours, Jeanette. It's right there. It just hasn't showed itself yet. It won't take long, though. You don't have to teach. You won't have to teach that newborn baby. Someday you won't have to teach it to lie. It will do that naturally. It'll cry for no reason. Its diaper won't be wet. It won't be hungry. It just is not happy. And it'll start crying. Until the time that it can talk, and then it will voice its rebellion against its parents. Then it will lie, and it will lie well. You have to teach it not to lie. You have to teach it to tell the truth. You have to teach it not to get angry. You have to teach it not to strike out. You have to teach it not to be hateful and so forth. These things come naturally, don't they, parents? Sin comes naturally. It's our nature. David wrote this, "I came forth from the womb speaking lies." David said that. You know it's so. Sin comes naturally. And if it goes unchecked, if something's not done about it, sin will break out all over the person until that person is a rotten sinner, a despicable creature, fit for the burning. That's what God calls fit for the burning. No goodness, no soundness in them, in their blood. Unless, now, what's it going to take? What's it going to take to give an old rotten, dead sinner life to heal them of this rotten disease? Same thing it took this man. Same one, same person. Unless Christ comes to that person. Unless Christ comes to that person and does something about their sin, they won't die in their sin. They won't die from it. Lepers back then were considered unclean. That is, they were contagious. They were very contagious. It was a highly contagious disease. That meant everything they touched, they contaminated. Everything they came near. If you want for your own reading sometime, go back and read in the book of Leviticus. Talks about lepers. Wherever they sat, wherever they touched, you had to either burn it or, well, you had to burn it. It was highly contagious. Everything they touched, everything they came near, everything they breathed on, they corrupted it. And boy, is that in the picture of us by nature. Everything we do is tainted with sin. Every word out of our mouth, every breath we take is full of sin. Everything we touch, we contaminate. Sinners are unclean. Unclean. Isaiah. You know, lepers back then, lepers were required by law. They were required that if for any reason they left, they generally were confined to a leper colony. When it finally was revealed that they had this full-blown leprosy, they banished them out of the city, out of the camp. It's all lepers outside the camp. They couldn't go be in there with all those good clean folks. Anyway, they were banished outside the camp, and if for any reason they had to leave that camp, whatever, they had to go around. If they were going to be within earshot of one clean person, they had to holler, "Unclean!" unclean. Put a rag over their mouth or something, but had to put their something over their mouth and holler out, unclean, I'm unclean, don't get near me. You know something? God Almighty, whenever He begins to reveal Himself to an old leper, when He's going to clean a leper, He reveals to them they're unclean. And they confess it. Isaiah said it in Isaiah 6. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Paul, the apostle, said, and he's the apostle, fine man, yet he said, in my flesh dwelleth no good and unclean. Lepers, if you want to turn, Psalm 14. Lepers were required to say they were unclean. Psalm 14. Now, this is not just spiritual talk here. This is not just a man preaching a sermon. This is true. This is true. This is what God says about mankind. It's not what preachers today say about mankind. That we're all basically good people. God needs us and wants us so badly, and there's just a little bit of bad in us. And if you'll turn, if you'll do something about that. No, sir, that's not what the Scripture says about man. Look at this. This is what God says about mankind. Psalm 14, verses 2 and 3. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand. Understand what they were. Understand who God is. And seek God. Read on. He said, they are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. If you have a margin, what does it say? Filthy. Stinking. That means corrupt. When something flesh corrupts, it's stinking. In Isaiah 1, Isaiah chapter 1, if you want to turn there quickly. If not, just listen as I read. Isaiah 1, verse 6, the Lord says this, from the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it. That is us. But wounds and bruises and putrefying sore. That describes leprosy. And that's what God says about mankind. That's what God sees. And we don't have to look very far to see it. It's very, very obvious. You go into the inner cities and down into these cesspools of drugs and so forth, that like that. You'll see the restraining grace of God removed from mankind. You'll see Him, the imagination of His heart is only evil, continually. But you don't have to go that far. You can look in your own heart. Those who God has revealed their leprosy to. You just have to look in. John Newton wrote in a hymn, when I look within, all is vain and dark and wild. Well, leprosy, now someone, I hope no one in here right now says, well, that's not me. I hope not. I believe that everyone in here at least will acknowledge in the head. But yeah. Sin is leprosy, and I've got it. But some people won't. They won't acknowledge that, do they? Huh? Some people won't. Well, I say this to those that aren't lepers, I say Christ didn't come for you. Now, I don't mean somebody used to be a leper. Christ didn't come. He said, I didn't come to call the righteous. He said, I came to call sinners. You know what kind of sinners He called? If you look at the stories of the sinners and that were attracted to the Lord, and I think they were sinners. There was no doubt in anybody's mind. That's who the Lord saved, He said. And if they aren't out and out, no out and out open gutter, gutter crawling centers, well, it's obvious. They know the Lord knows that they're sin, not just in people. A lot of people generally will acknowledge, oh, yes, we have been sin. Mm-hmm. The difference in saying, oh, I have been a sinner, and saying, I'm no good, I'm unclean. Well, the well, our Lord said, the well need not a physician. And this is the first work in salvation. Listen, don't despair. There may be somebody in here right now who absolutely feels their wicked heart so much, and their own depravity, and their own rotten, sinful flesh that plagues them all the day long. They smell themselves until they despair of themselves. And I say about that, I say, good. I say, good. There was a man who came up to a preacher years ago, came into his office, and he said to the man, I don't know who the preacher was, but he said, oh, I'm a rotten, no good. And he just kept telling the man where he'd been, what he'd done, what he was doing, and all that. And when it was all over, the man said, is that all? The preacher said, is that all? And the fellow said, well, I'm glad to hear that. The preacher said, I'm glad to hear that. Maybe there is hope. Our Lord said, I didn't come to call the righteous, the sinners, the saints. And this is the first work of God in salvation. This is what He does. And you know something? You never lose sight of that. You never think of yourself as more than just an old rotten sinner. That's what makes Christ sweet to you. That's what makes the gospel. That's what makes it good news to you. That doesn't mean you keep doing your out and out sinning and meanness and all that, although it will creep up and come out every now and then. But that's not the bent of your will and the direction of your life. Yet it will come out every now and then, just to make you keep you knowing that you're nothing but a leper, and keep you coming to Christ. It will keep you coming to Christ. If you don't have leprosy, you won't come to Christ. Because there's only one person that can heal leprosy. Now, if plenty can heal a cold, will take care of itself. Huh? A bruised knee. But boy, this David said, I've got this rottenness in my bones. Then Psalm 38, John, he said, I find in me a disease. A disease. There was a doctor, I told you this, but most of them. But there was a doctor up in Ashland years ago. He was my family physician. And one day he got so tired of people coming to see him about their rheumatism and their sprained ankles and their little aches and pains and all that. They'd come and, you know, he'd spend 16 hours a day in the office. Well, he used to make house calls too, Brother Henry. I remember coming to our house. He came to my house and I had tonsillitis and all that. Well, that's been a long time ago. Good doctor. But he saw everybody coming and going, you know. Finally, though, he got tired of seeing all these minor illnesses. And he did this. He went out into the waiting room. And here was full of all these poor sick people. And he said this out loud. He said, is there anybody in here really sick? I mean really sick. That you're going to die if you don't see me. He said, if so, I'll see you right now. If not, take two aspirin and call me a smart. Well, this gospel is for really sick people. Death. Dying people. That's the only people who need sovereign grace, Jeanette. That's the only people. Not people who just need a little help. Who's going to do a lot for the Lord. Who's going to serve Him all the days of their life. And they got a few faults. So if Jesus will take care of those, they'll make it the rest of the way. They don't need the gospel of God's sovereign redeeming grace. They don't need mercy. They don't need saving grace. And they'll not find it. They'll not hear it. They won't know it. Boy, sinners do. Lepers do. This man had leper status. And it wasn't a patch. It wasn't a little fault. It was leprosy. Ah! There's a story over in Leviticus 13 and 14. This is true. Over in Leviticus 13 and 14, it describes the leper and what they're to do, how they're to come to the high priest. All this is a picture of Christ, who's the high priest, who alone can heal leprosy. And back then, and our Lord's words to Moses and Aaron were, if somebody comes and they just have a little patch of unclean skin, tell them they're unclean. If they have 95% good flesh and one little patch, tell them, you got leprosy. It's just a little patch, though. You got leprosy. And you're going to die. If they have 50% bad flesh and 50% good flesh, tell them, you're unclean. You're going to die. Well, this is true. This is what our Lord says to them. If they have 98% rotten flesh and 2% good flesh, there's one little good spot they can see on their flesh. Tell them, you're unclean. You're going to die. You got leprosy. Tell them that. You need the high priest to do something. Make that sacrifice. But, he said, if there's somebody that comes to you, and if there's no soundness in their flesh, all over, they're covered, all over, he said, the high priest, you tell them, clean. You're. I'm going to explain that. Would you explain that? That's what he said. Tell them, they're clean. Well, there it is, the high priest is about to do something. Offer that sacrifice. Put away their leprosy. What is that? That's somebody who's a sinner through and through. Right? You got to come to Christ as a in my flesh dwell a guilty thing. And nothing. Nothing. Don't you have anything to commend you, God? Nothing. I got cleansing for you. I got a gospel for you. There's a great high priest for the life of you. No good leper. Leper. What we've got today mostly are a bunch of religious country clubs and playhouses entertaining good Christian folks. Well, a bunch of religious clubhouses entertaining good old Christian folk on their way to heaven. And no, the gospel is for rotten lepers, no good sinners. And this is what the Lord reveals to every one of us. We're our rotten selves, and they're brought to Christ. Verse 40, look in our text, Mark chapter 1. Go back there quickly. Mark chapter 1, verse 40. And there came a leper. There came a leper. Somebody says, well, he did come, didn't he? He did come with his own free will. Oh, no, he did not. That's calling Christ a liar. Christ said, no man can come except the Father which has sent me draw him. Did he not say that? Yes, he did. No man can come. Not only can they not come, Christ said in another place, you will not come unto them. Why won't men come to Christ? They won't come. They don't want to come to this Christ, this sovereign Christ. And they can't come. They're dead in trespasses. But this man comes, yeah, and so did I. But it was by God's sovereign grace. Just just this man, this certain leper came, didn't it? There came a leper. A bunch of lepers. There's a bunch of lepers in that place. Why did this man come and the rest of them didn't? Sovereign grace. Sovereign electing saving grace. He came. But he did come. Yes, he did. And it said, look at this. This goes with our morning message, doesn't it? It says, he came to Christ, not to the disciples, not to the church, but he came to Christ, beseeching him and kneeling down, beseeching him. You ever besought anyone or besought anything? Beseech? Seek? Beseech? That means you're begging. When you beseech, we don't use that word much anymore. But the word is, you beg. He was begging him. He was begging him. You know what it is to beg, don't you? He was begging him. Pleading with him. And it says he kneeled down. He was kneeling unto him. Over in Luke's gospel it says, when he came down from the mountain after preaching, it says that this man came up worshiping him. Man, this is how he first approached the Lord Jesus Christ. This is how he came to the King, to the Lord Jesus Christ. He came worshiping. He didn't say, well, there's Jesus. Well, I'm a leper. Well, he heals all lepers. And I'm going to come, and I'm going to claim my right to be healed by this Jesus. No, sir. He came worshiping, kneeling, begging. Do you hear the difference? Do you see the difference in what's being preached about? Preachers have a Jesus out there begging them to do something. They have a Jesus, a picture of him kneeling down. You seen these pictures? Ken James calls it, Wild Bill Hickok. This picture they have of this Jesus kneeling down on a rock and his hands up like that. Ken James says, that looks like Wild Bill Hickok. He's holding those aces and eights, and the guy shot him in the back. He's kneeling. The Lord Jesus Christ is not kneeling. He is sitting on the right hand of the Majesty on high. He does not kneel. He does not knock. He does not ask. He does not plead or beg anybody to do anything. He doesn't walk anything. But he's seated, willing all things, working all things after the counsel of his own will. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, you can't do that. He doeth according to his will in the armies of heaven among the inhabitants of the earth. He is seated, and he is ensuring that everything be done exactly like he says it. He doesn't ask, he doesn't beg, he doesn't plead, he doesn't kneel. He's the King. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. Beggars do the pleading. Beggars do the asking. Beggars do the kneeling. Servants kneel. Kings sit. Servants worship. Kings listen and decide what they're going to do. Oh, how different is our gospel, is our God, than the one being preached today. And all lepers, anybody who's ever come to this Christ and this God and this gospel, ready? They're the ones doing the begging. They're the ones doing the kneeling. They're the ones doing the asking, not the Lord Jesus. I just enjoy talking about that. Exalting the Lord as he is, especially in the face of this blasphemous generation. A man can't say it dogmatically enough or loud enough or often enough. They're spewing out their blasphemy today, and I'm nauseated with it. That pitiful Jesus they're preaching can't save a flea. If you and I are saved, it's going to be by a sovereign King on the throne. And we're going to do the asking of the baby. We're going to do the pleading. We're going to do the worshiping. And we're going to fear him all the days of our life. This leper came kneeling, beseeching, begging, asking him. And this is what he said. Now, this is very simple. This story is very simple. Look at it. Very simple. Verse 40. This is all his prayer. He didn't make a long prayer. We're not heard for our much speaking. We're not heard for our eloquent speaking. Oh, Father, if you wilt, thou wilt, thou wilt, so forth, and then thus we are. You know, we're not heard for our English speaking, or much speaking, or our eloquent speaking. Listen to his prayer. This is the only thing he said to the Lord. Verse 40. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Amen. That's all he said. Huh. That's all he needed. He didn't say, I need a new chariot. Oh, he's a leper. What's he going to do with a new chariot? He didn't say, my job is ending. I need it. He's got everything he needs. If the Lord doesn't take care of this, what's it matter? What's the rest of it matter? What do you need, man? That's what he said to one of these fellows when they called him, Bartimaeus, what do you need? What is it you need? Whatever you need is, that's what the Lord will provide. Didn't it say that, John? He healed all them that had need of healing. What do you need? Bartimaeus said, I'm blind. I need to see. See. This man's a leper. What do you need? Cleaning. What do you need? I need a job. There you go. I need a house. There you go. Not I pray through, and now you must. Not I will, and you shall. Oh, yes, I will. By chance. You don't have to. This is what he's saying. You don't have to. You do all things according to your will. You're the Lord. But if you will, you can. Do what? You've done it for others. If thou will. Oh my. Oh my. All right, look at what happened. That was it. That's all I said, Jason. Will the Lord hear a short prayer? Verse 41. It says, and Jesus, moved with compassion. We read from Lamentations 3. You know why we read those verses 22 and 23, where it says, it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. Now listen to me, listen, and I'm not being hard here, callous. This fellow's a leper. The Lord doesn't need this fellow. He doesn't need this fellow. There's plenty more lepers where he came from, isn't it? What, besides, what's he going to get out of the leper? Huh? What can the leper do for him? How can the leper do anything? He doesn't get the leper. This man's unclean, unfit, he doesn't have anything. He doesn't. Is that too hard? He doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. Yeah, but you're the preacher. Only on that. He had an ass one time preaching. Yeah, he did. He had an ass preaching to a fellow one time talking about a mule. And he still uses several of them. He doesn't need it. He doesn't need us. Mm-hmm. What's he need with us? There's billions more just like us. Men say, that for people all the time. God needs you. The words are full of you. But it's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, you see, because His compassions, they fail not. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And this scripture, I love this scripture. Didn't write down where it is. It says this: the Lord will have mercy on them that fear Him, and upon them that hopeth, He delighteth, and them that hopeth His what? Delight. He's moved with compassion for an out and out sinner. I mean, a guilty sinner. He's moved with compassion. He's moved with compassion. He's moved with compassion for a guilty, rotten sinner to come to Him. Now, this man's healing was very, very quick. Brother Ed, you and I considered this one time. How often Luke in his gospel, Mark in his gospel says immediately, and immediately he did this. Immediately this happened. Immediately, immediately. Those who lift up that word, it'll stick out. It's everywhere. Immediately. Well, verse 41. Our Lord moved with compassion, put forth His hand and took it. Moved with compassion. The moving force in our salvation is not our will. It's the mercy and the love and the compassion of God towards His people. That's the moving force. That needs to be said. But He was moved with compassion, said He put forth His hand and He touched him. How do you reckon He touched him? Well, He put His marvelous, wonderful, callous, warm hand, His hand, that hand. I heard my pastor preach one time. Fairmont, West Virginia, on the text. And the Lord rose and said they were all full of unbelief and all that. And it says, the first thing He did, He showed them His hand. He said, it's me. And He showed them His hand. His hand. He put that hand. That hand. On His shoulder, on His head, on His heart, His chest. Ever had your dad or somebody, your wife, your husband, or somebody that really loved you, and loved dearly, and hurt you, whatever, put their hand on you? Touch you. This is the Lord's hand. The Lord's hand. And He touched me. We sing that song. We don't sing that song. We ought to sing that song. He touched me. He touched me. Oh, what a joy. And it says here, He touched him, verse 31, and said unto him. Now, this is all He said. Now, all the man said was, if you will, you can't make me clean. And this is all the Lord said. I will be back. You know, if there was a leper, I mean a bona fide leper in here whose Lord had touched and was beseeching him with every fiber of their being. I mean, if there was really a seeking center in here this morning, and said to him, can guarantee you on the basis of this right here that he will touch you, I mean literally actually lay hold on you and say to you, I will be bound, and you will be. You're looking at one. I wasn't seeking the Lord that he sought me, and I wasn't interested to buddy when the Lord began to work on me. It was obvious. It was obvious. And it didn't last 100 years. It says here immediately. Okay. Verse 42, as soon as he has spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him. Immediately. And what about, was he clean? Everywhere. He was clean. But you know something? The man died. Not right now, but he did die. What did he die from? I don't know. But he was cleansed. He was healed. Well, yeah. He left the city. But he had the same need you and I did. Didn't he? Huh? The Lord does heal our cancer or our whatever it is, we're still going to die or something. And we still have this real need. Sin. And whoever the Lord says this to, they're clean. They're clean everywhere. Their sins are gone. Their sins are gone. And look at this, and I'll quit. It says here in verse 43, and he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away. He sent him away. And he said unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. I want you to bear witness to and testimony to the word of God through Moses. You go to the high priest. You go and you offer, you do what's required in the scriptures there of you as testimony to what God has said, that you are, you believe God with all that's written in the prophets. Don't go tell everybody about this. You'll do what I tell you to. And he did. He went out. And he did that. I believe he did go to the high priest and do that. What's all this saying? Why is our Lord telling not to tell anybody? We send him away, first of all, send him away. And this is all a test. It's all a trial for this man, a test. You know he's not telling the man, don't glorify me. Don't bear witness to me. Don't tell everybody I'm the Christ. He's not telling that. He tells us the same. Tell everybody. You believe the Christ. What's he doing? He's testing this man. Don't tell anybody. You understand what he's saying there, Jenny, huh? What's the man do? He told everybody. What did I say this morning? Huh? I try to discourage people. Try to discourage people. Oh, you're buddy, if you can't keep them quiet, then look, God must have done something. You can't keep them from... See, preachers aren't treasures. The true preacher waits on them to come to him. And say, please, I want to confess. That's what Paul, remember Paul said, I don't know who I baptized. I don't care. I'm not here to baptize. Before they came to him, I need to confess. How would you please? Yeah. So I will. That's exactly what the Lord is doing. He's testing him. Also, he's telling him, you go to where God's people are. Where's that? Instead of here in the gospel. To send him away. The way to send him. Where the word of God was being preached.
the gospel is, where God's people are. He wasn't going to be out there on his own. He's one of God's sheep now. He's going to go where God's people are. And he's going to bear record to the word of God. How were you healed? There was a miracle. Jesus healed me. And I was all by myself. And a lightning bolt came down. No, sir. You go, you sit on the sound of the gospel. That's what God ordained. That's the word that God uses. God said, my word is what I use. Not signs, not vision, not miracles. This is a testimony to the word. How will you say, I heard the gospel in the church? Yes, the gospel of the prophets. Moses wrote it in as a testimony to God's word. You see that? You see the wisdom of our Lord in doing it? But I tell you what, he couldn't keep quiet. Who saved him? Lord Jesus, we must do the same. Well, how did he save me? Touch me. He spoke to me. His word. Well, sure, no, you're not saved. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, I am. Who did it? Tell me, who did it? The Lord did it. Well, surely you were. You had something else. Something. The Lord did it. All right. He couldn't help himself. He had to tell him. Let's sing, There Is a Fountain. It's written on him, so there is a fountain. The lepers. 222. 226. There is a fountain, and it's filled with blood. Sinners lose all their guilty stain. Let's stand as we say. 226. Hello.